The Holy Gospel for today is from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. When John the Baptizer heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word to his disciples and said to them, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out in the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, and I tell you, more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. And yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." This is the gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, grace and peace to you this day from God our Creator and from Jesus, the one who has come and who will come again. Last week, he seemed so sure of himself. If you were with us last Sunday, or if you know the story of John the Baptist, you're familiar with his voice crying out in the wilderness, "Repent! Repent," he declared to those who came to see and hear him along the banks of the River Jordan. "Bear fruit that befits repentance. In other words, live like you mean it," John said. One who is more powerful than I is coming. His winnowing fork is in his hand. He will gather his wheat, those who bear good fruit with their lives, into his granary, but the chaff, those who refuse repentance, he will burn with unquenchable fire." John thundered his warning of judgment with great urgency, knowing that the Messiah, that Jesus, had arrived. We catch up with him today in real time, maybe months, maybe a year after his wilderness sermons. He's no longer crying out in the wilderness. Today we find him languishing in a jail cell. It's dark and dank. John is grappling with the purpose of his life at least as much as he's tugging at the shackles on his ankles and wrists. Suddenly he hears voices and then sees two men approaching his jail cell, illuminated by the torch one of them carries. They are friends. They are John's apprentices, his disciples, come to check on him. And John cannot help but share the doubts that have weighed so heavily on him in the darkness of that prison cell. "Next time you see Jesus," he tells them, "next time you see Jesus, ask him, 'Are you in fact the one who is to come? Did I get that right? Or should we be looking for another?'" John's reply reminds me of the words that Andrew Lloyd Webber wrote for Jesus in his opera, his musical, Jesus Christ Superstar. "Once I was inspired, now I'm sad and tired. Tried for 3 years, but it seems like 30. Most of us know about questions like the one John asks in today's gospel. We have asked them out loud, perhaps, or perhaps we've asked them kept them to ourselves. There was a time when we were so certain about our job, so certain about our career path, so certain about a valued relationship, so certain about what was right and what was wrong, it made sense. There was a time when our faith in God made sense, when we were convicted about why it mattered to follow Jesus and to even invite others to follow that same way. But now behind bars of doubt and disappointment and failed expectations, we ask with John, Jesus, are you really the source of our hope and our peace and our joy? Are you the promised one who will set things right? Or have we been led astray? Because from where I sit, looking out the window, it's not looking so good. Should we be waiting for another? Well, John had expected the Messiah to come with his winnowing fork in his hand, to gather the grain and burn the chaff. But Jesus instead seems to have showed up to try and turn the chaff into grain, and that wasn't on John's agenda. Jesus wasn't in Jerusalem or Rome calling down the fires of judgment on corrupt and unjust oppressors. Instead, he's out roaming the hills of Galilee, preaching the gospel, healing the sick, showing mercy to the ordinary. The politics of Jesus are expressed in loving enemies and serving the poor and forgiving the unforgivable and welcoming refugees and doing justice and loving mercy. John's doubts stem from Jesus' failure to meet John's expectations and those of many other about what the Messiah should be and do. It was the same sort of disappointment that the prophet Jonah felt when he answered God's call to preach repentance to Nineveh, and much to his surprise, the city repented. And then God stepped back from the judgment, from the destruction that God was going to pour down upon Nineveh, and Jonah wasn't happy about that. I knew you couldn't be trusted, Jonah said to God. I knew you were going to do something like this, like sparing all these people. John must have hoped for something better, for himself, a better reward than sitting in a jail cell and inevitably his execution. We keep looking for God to spring us from our prisons, or better yet, to overwhelm the powers that put us there. We become haunted by those things that we know in our hearts that God should be about, but God seems to be slow or reluctant to do. And we get the same answer to our questions that John did. Go and tell John. Go and tell him, Jesus told the messengers, what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and not just those who are physically blind, but those who can't see their neighbors right next door. The lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, those who no one will touch, no one will invite to a party, I'm inviting to a party. The deaf hear, those who not only can't hear physically, but are incapable of hearing good news. The dead are raised, the poor have good news brought to them, and blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me. The reign of the promised Messiah, the coming of the Lord, is upon you and me, but not in the way you might expect. It's not a repeat of King David's rise to power. That didn't work out so well. The realm of heaven is breaking into the present age, but not in Herod's palace, not in Rome's Colosseum, not in government buildings in Washington, D.C., or in towers of glass and steel in downtown New York City. The realm of heaven is breaking into the present age like green shoots sprouting from a dead stump, or like ribbons of water streaming into dry creek beds and desert wastelands. Listen and see. Listen and see the creative power of God continues to work in the middle of the suffering of this world. Much of it goes unnoticed, but the kingdom of God is at hand today. It's estimated today that somewhere in the world, about 34,000 people will be forced to get up and leave their homes because of violent conflict in the place they live. Another 34,000 people will have to do the same tomorrow, and on Tuesday, 34,000 more will have to leave as refugees. That means on any given 2 days, these days, the entire population of Rapid City, South Dakota gets up, leaves their home, and runs for safety. 62 million people have been displaced by violence, poverty, and more recently, climate change. The number of forcibly displaced people in the world today is higher than it has been at any time since the end of World War II. The reign of God appears for Syrian refugees in Jordan, where many have streamed, hundreds of thousands have streamed since the conflict there through the work of our church, the Lutheran World Federation, providing psychosocial support along with education and things like stoves and heaters and school bags. They supplement the daily living supplies provided by the UN. The reign of God is breaking into Kenya, where 200,000 South Sudanese live in the Kakuma refugee camp. It's a dusty terrain of tents and brick huts. Those who live there call it equally prison and exile, but better there than in South Sudan, where a civil war has raged for years. And the violence in that place, in their home, has shut down businesses. Banks have shut down businesses and kept out most international aid efforts. Our church in that camp is providing education and protection for tens of thousands of children. It's also children that are the primary concern of our Evangelical Lutheran Church in America's AMPARO strategy. AMPARO is an acronym that stands for Accompanying Migrant Minors with Protection, Advocacy, Representation, and Opportunities. It's a name that's a play on the word amparo, which means refuge in Spanish. And the focus is to provide help for the more than 60,000 unaccompanied minors who've come into our country every year over the past several years. Most of them have come to flee violence and gangs and drug cartels in El Salvador and Guatemala and Honduras. Our church, the body of Christ, provides legal assistance and community outreach and family reunification to those who are here. And we're working with churches in Latin America to support safe houses and training programs for youth there. It's just one example of many I could share about where the kingdom of God is breaking in ways that we neither see nor hear about. You don't have to listen to the news or read the headlines for very long before you wonder, where are you, God? Where are you showing up? Or are you showing up at all in a world of so much heartache and suffering? Jesus, are you the one who is to come? Or should we be looking for another? Listen and see what is happening. The Lord responds, My body, the church, is giving sight to the blind. Open the eyes of ordinary people and open the eyes of others to what is going on in the world. Helping the lame walk, welcoming the outcast, helping the deaf hear, raising those who are dead in sin and despair, and bringing hope and help to the poor. Did you really think I was going to save my people and save my world from the seats in royal palaces, or marble edifices, or towers of glass and steel? It's going to happen on the ground. It's going to happen in neighborhoods and in communities and in small towns, practicing the politics of Jesus. And so I've sent you out to serve breakfast at the banquet and to pass out diapers with necessities for neighbors and to sing carols at care centers, and to come alongside neighbors and friends and strangers in seasons of sorrow and joy. I am sending you out. I am teaching you love and mercy, church, to send you out into classrooms and courtrooms and operating rooms, into boardrooms and barrooms, into preschools and retirement homes, into city parks and strip malls, into child care centers and into prisons. I'm sending you out to follow in John's footsteps, to prepare the way and to announce that the way has arrived. I am sending you out with the promise that health and wholeness will be restored, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. It will happen the Jesus way, of God joining us in our weakness and coming to us in our prisons of doubt and insecurity and fear. Yes, John, the Lord has come. Thanks be to God.